Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to love each other in such reality that this place experiences much power and great grace, just like the times described in Acts. Such real love and real power and real grace that we are different people by your very presence and with the blessing of you adding to our numbers daily. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For year after year after year, my Saturday morning tradition and in our household has been to listen to the radio broadcasts of Christian children music and stories. I've been listening to Focus on the Family, Adventures in Odyssey from when they first went on the air. And WEEC here in the Springfield area every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. has children's programming, which I really enjoy. And I share the enjoyment with my wife and with my children. The shows of Wee Kids, Paws and Tales, which is from Insight for Living, The Pond, and Focus on the Family Radio Theater, Jungle Jam and Friends, Adventures in Odyssey, and Lamplighter Theater. I try not to miss an episode, not a single episode. And I encourage you some Saturday morning to listen to WEEC and hear all the different things that are shared. Yesterday on Focus on the Family Radio Theater, they began the dramatized C.S. Lewis Screwtape Letters. It's a radio theater drama, and it's sound effects, voices, and all that. And the listening to it put in my mind an image. An image I'd like to share with you this morning, but a little background if you're not familiar with the Screwtape Letters. In 1941, C.S. Lewis wrote a series of letters that looked at temptation from the viewpoint of the devil. The senior demon, Screwtape, was writing to his nephew, Wormwood, with pointers and tips on how to guide the man called the patient toward our Father below, meaning the devil, from the enemy, who is God. And as you can see, it takes everything from a different direction, from a different perspective. The letters were printed one at a time each week over a period of 31 weeks, and they were tremendously well received. And it's a fascinating book. Those letters were put into a book, and it's a fascinating book to read. Now, the image I want to share with you comes from the second letter. Screwtape begins, "My dear Wormwood, I note with grave displeasure that your patient has become a Christian. Do not indulge the hope that you will escape the usual penalties. Indeed, in your better moments, I trust you would hardly even wish to do so. In the meantime, we must make the best of this situation. There is no need to despair. Hundreds of these adult converts have been reclaimed after a brief sojourn in the enemy's camp and are now with us. All the habits of the patient, both mental and bodily, are still in our favor. One of our great allies at present is the church itself." And then Screwtape then proceeds to have Wormwood get his patient to focus on the faults and foibles of the fellow worshipers. See their faults, see their failings, real or imaginary, it doesn't matter. Get his patient's mind off of God and onto those in the pews, those other people in the pews with them, with all their faults. All the people sitting around him would lead the patient to decide Christianity is as faulty as those practitioners in the pews sitting around him. More from Lewis. "You want to lean pretty heavily on those neighbors. Make his mind flit to and fro between an expression like the body of Christ and the actual faces in the pew next. Provided that any of those neighbors sing out a tune or have boots that squeak or a double chin or odd clothes, the patient will quite easily believe that their religion must therefore be somewhat ridiculous." You see, wormwood was to get the patient comparing and seeing the hypocrisy and the crassness in those in the pews around him, to think the worst and then dismiss Christianity as he would dismiss those sitting in the pews around him. Now, this image is not too far of a stretch. Through the years, in all the various congregations I've been a part of, I've heard talk like the ladies in the Music Man talking about Miss Marion Peru, the librarian. I have heard and seen looks shot at parents of a squirming, crying child. I have heard about how a person smells, or how a person dresses, or how they sing off key, or how they say amen too loud during the service. And the list could go on and on and on. Is that what the Apostle John had in mind when he wrote 1 John chapter 3, verse 11? This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Seeing the frailties and the brokenness in others at times, and then to reach out in love and compassion. See it as an opportunity to love as Christ loved. Different tastes of music and worship style is a time to lay down one's own preference for another's need to hear Christ speak to his heart through a different tempo and maybe a different instrument. Instead of looking for things to find fault, look for Christ working and redeeming a heart. Be a part of Christ redeeming another through loving him. Or loving her. The Apostle John points to Cain there in 1 John chapter 3 as a negative example. Don't be like Cain. Cain saw Abel's worship and saw Abel's offerings. Abel brought the best of the fat portion from some of the firstborn of his herd. Abel brought his very best as an offering to the Lord. Cain brought some of the fruits of the field. Cain did not bring his very best. The Lord looked favor on Abel's offering. Cain's offering, the Lord did not look upon with favor. The difference, as you know, was the attitude of the heart being expressed through the offering. Abel, his very best. Cain, tokenism, far from his very best. Instead of changing and becoming like Abel, offering his very best, Cain plotted to bring Abel down. Cain took his eyes off the Lord and attacked and killed his brother Abel. How you love your brother, how you love your sister, how you love truly is a marker that shows you've really come to know what it means to be a follower of Christ. What it means to be in Christ. How you love those in the pew. Those actual faces that are sitting next to you. How you love them shows that you've been born again. That eternal life has come in. That is what John means by 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. A love for the people of God is one of the most basic signs of being born again. If that love for the people of God is not present, it is right to question whether salvation is present. For the kind of love, that agape love that the Apostle John writes about, is the love John has always taught. You love as Christ loved you. You are willing to lay your life down because Christ laid his life down. And you will desire the fellowship and company of those who believe, who are born again. You will overlook frailties. You will overlook faults. You will overlook the foibles too, because you love them. You will not forsake the gathering of the believers. You will want to be with the ones you love and the ones who love you. This love has you live differently. Live differently than those around you. Study the way people use the word love today. All the modern pictures and ideas of love are not the love of old. A common thread runs through the modern expression in that there's always some part of that love full of self-gratification. The way it makes one feel is top priority. How high in spirit it makes you feel, or gaining something for yourself. What is very present is some sort of what's in it for me? What do I get out of it? All about how it makes me feel. The about me is the real clue that shows self-denial, which is fundamental to love. Self-denial is missing. The self-sacrifice that demonstrates the greatest of love is missing. That laying down of one's life is missing. Self, me, self-receiving is not love. Self-giving is. Apostle John writes the kind of love, that agape love, we are to have for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a self-giving love. We look for ways to give of ourselves. We don't come here expecting to receive. We come here expecting to give. Give worship. Give praise. Give love. We come here to give and give generously. A love that is so great that this love will love the unlovable. This love will love the grouch, will love the curmudgeon, will love the squirming child and have compassion on the frenzied parent, will love not merely in words but in action. You see, the kind of love is an act of the will. It's more than a feeling. You choose to love. You love. A desire to see this love impact and change another life. I will love to change lives for Christ. Our reading from Acts 4 today gives an account of this love in action among the believers. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. Skipping down to verses 34 through 37. Again, this is love in action. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and distributed it to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And as you read through Acts even farther, you'll see how important Barnabas becomes in the early church. But it's also his love, his generosity being expressed. The believers loved each other. One in heart, one in mind. They shared. That sharing things, it can be hard. It took me a while to start sharing my Ovation guitars. Especially my 12-string Ovation, which I've owned now for 23 years. But to see the eyes of a teen light up when they play those guitars, when they try them, the 12-string, it's a joy. The bass guitar I play for praise music, it's not mine. The bass guitar is shared with me to use to praise God by a brother in Christ. It's shared by Randy. That love that is so real in the early church moved people to amazing generosity, selling possessions, land, and placing it at the apostles' feet. No strings attached, no expectation of a brass plaque with a dedication, simply giving out of love with great joy. Now, I skipped over verse 33 in Acts chapter 4. Sandwiched between those verses of one in heart and generous giving and all that is this verse. Listen to how the early church is described. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Great power, great grace, because love was lived out in action. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. If anyone has material possessions and see his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. Another translation of the same verses, North American Standard Bible. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? If you see a need, love in your heart compels you to meet that need, to love like Christ. Aristides was summoned before Hadrian, emperor of Rome. Hadrian ruled Rome in the years 117 to 138 AD. Hadrian had summoned Aristides to come and tell him about the Christians, tell him what they were really like. And this is what Aristides said. They love one another. They never fail to help widows. They save orphans from those who would hurt them. If they have something, they give freely to the man who has nothing. If they see a stranger, they take him home and are happy as though he were a real brother. They don't consider themselves brothers in the usual sense, but brothers instead through the Holy Spirit of God. The Christians were known by their love, and that love conquered Rome and spread throughout the world. In the mid-1960s, a parish priest in the south side of Chicago was leading a youth choir and looking for a song to sing in an ecumenical interracial event there in south side of Chicago. He could not find an appropriate song. So in a single day, Peter Schultz wrote that famous song, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." They will know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. That really summarizes well this part of John's letter. Summarizes well what the Christian faith is to be known by. Love. Love that is faithful to God's word and description of love. Love that lays down your own life for another. Lay down your life. Lay down your preferences. Lay down your expectations. Lay down what you need to lay down to really love another in Christ. That's what John's writing here in his letter, 1 John chapter 3. You lay down your life so others will know Christ's love. And by experiencing that love of Christ, they will believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and will be saved. They will know we are Christians by our love. And that love will lead another to a Savior, the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.